independent topic, in other words, and one which is relevant to some of the broader things that we've been doing all year. So instead of continuing trying to do as much as we could on Ches and Tes, which is all connected, and which is really terrific topic, so Od Chazon LaMoed, as they say, but we're not giving up on Ches and Tes. But I thought we'd do the first topic in the third perek, which is connected really to a lot of the themes that we've been discussing all year round. Okay, so we'll, it gives a little taste for the third perek, so that'll also, I guess, be an Od Chazon LaMoed at some point. So the third perek begins, just going to do the first sugya, which is the concept of Zavlo, which is a different configuration of Bezin, and that's really, it's the contrast and the comparison both, which I want to highlight in this particular shiur. So the all year we've been discussing a regular Bezin. We started the year by discussing the Chiyuv to be Mamana, sitting Bezin, according to many Rishonim. Shoftim, Titan Lecha, Bechol She'arecha. So the idea of having a standing court, right, or a permanent court, is something that we introduced Sanhedrin with, and we tried to develop the idea, and we've seen echoes of it throughout the year, that the Sanhedrin isn't just a mechanism to solve particular sichsuchim, particular struggles or strife between people, and to produce even just results in particular cases. Of course it is that. If it wasn't that, then it couldn't be much more than that. But it's intended to be also, this is the theme that we were trying to develop, a certain presence in the community, something which anchors the community in the concept of tzedek institutionally, and also therefore provides not only the mechanism, which ends up being both a deterrent and a kind of a paradigm of tzedek, but also judges themselves. The dayanim, who are Elohim, are people whose very presence in a community sets certain standards and provides a certain deterrence, even more so, provides role models for spirituality and ethics and so on. But along the way, we've also noted that there are different configurations. For example, we spent a lot of time discussing pshara. Right? Pshara is a situation, as we know, where we suspend the regular objective din, right, in favor of a more flexible solution. Again, whether that solution is based on hischaivus and is really outside the system, or whether it is a fine-tuning or tweaking of the system, allowing for a more flexible application in individual cases of the principles of the law. That's something that we discuss extensively. But either way, pshara ends up being a subcategory within din, one which an exception, but an exception which raises all sorts of interesting questions about the rule. We've also noted numerous times, it came up on Daf Gimel and again on Daf Hey, that there's also a concept of Kibolai, which is not the topic that we're doing tonight. That's actually the next Mishnah in the third parak on Chaf Dalet Omer Aleph. Amalai Neman Alai Abba Neman Alai Avicha Neman Alai Gimel Roy Bakar. The situation where the Balei Dinim choose to waive their normal rights, which is to have a kosher bezdin, both in terms of either in terms of the numbers or in terms of the stature or qualifications of the dayanim, and they both agree and they say neman alei abba, neman alei avicha, neman alei gimel roei bakar. They say we are going to agree, right, to have a more flexible definition of a diet. That's also something that's come up numerous times. Although the main sugya is here in the third parak. And we've discussed again whether this is a fine-tuning of din or an abdication of din. Same kind of question, although the details are quite different. In other words, is this a schaivus? It looks like a din. It gives the impression, in other words, it's a simulation of din. But it isn't really din, because you can't have a real din if the dayan is a karov or if the dayan is a apostle, right? So really what we mean is a schaivus, although the fact that it's played out in the context of din as if it's a din is surely significant. Or do we even mean, far more ambitiously, that you can really, the Dalei Dinim have the ability to tweak the system to such an extent that if they agree, they can redefine or reconfigure the kashrus of the Dayanim, and maybe other things as well. So that brings us tonight to another example of this, one which is, you know, similar but also very different than the other two I just mentioned, Pshara and Kivolai, and that is Zavla. So the Mishnah says here, Dine Mamanus Bishlosha. Dine Mamanus requires 3 dayanim. Now that in itself is very fascinating, because that's how the Mishnah starts in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, the very, very long Mishnah that we spent so much time on, and we spent so much time discussing why three, is three a unit, are three individuals, right? All sorts of issues connected with that. Why does the Mishnah need to repeat Dine Mamanus Bishlosha here? But possibly the answer is, although that then raises another question, is the continuation. The Mishnah says, Zeb borer lo echad, the Zeb borer lo echad, u'shnehem borim lahem od echad, divra bimeir, chachamim amrim shnei dayanim borim lahem od echad. So we're going to go with the Gemara's final pshat. We'll read it inside in a minute. Gemara didn't understand it this way initially, but what the Gemara understands this Mishnah to be saying is that if the Bali Dinim agree, instead of having a three-man set standing court, the Bali Dinim can put together their own court. They can each choose a Dayan, right? And then there's a debate between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, who chooses the third Dayan. Is it, according to Rabbi Meir, the Bali Dinim, they chose, each one chose a Dayan, and now the two of them put their heads together and they choose the third? Or is it the Dayanim that they chose, they in turn choose the third Dayan? That is the debate. Then the Mishnah goes on and says that Zeh posel Dayan HaShozeh, Zeh posel Dayan HaShozeh, Divrei Rabbi Meir, another machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chacham. Rabbi Meir says that each one can disqualify the other's judge, and then Gemara debates what the conditions are. Chachamim disagree. Chachamim omer emes of zman shemevi aleim raya shein krovim opsulim avalim hayu ksherim amumchin vipibezin. If they're proper qualified judges, ene yachal poslan, then they cannot be disqualified simply by whim. Ze posel edif shalzeh, ze posel shalzeh, ze divrei Rabbi Meir. Another controversial argument. In other words, a question what Rabbi Meir means by this. Rabbi Meir seems to say that the Bali Dinim have the capacity to disqualify Edim in the case. The Chachamim Omrim, Emesai Bezman Shemevi Aleim Rai Shein Krovim Upsulim, Avalim Ar Ksherim, Einan Yecholim Leposlim. If there are Edim Ksherim, then of course the Bali Dvarim cannot disqualify them. And the Gemara goes on to explain that the circumstances are very unusual. Even Rabbi Meir agrees that typically, of course, Bali Dinim cannot disqualify Edim. So the question is as follows. First, we're going to read the Gemara in a minute, but this institution, this description of the Mishnah of Zeh Borer Lechad VeZeh Borer Lo Echad, and then the question of how you get the Dayan HaShlishi, is does not cohere with the first Mishnah, in which we're talking about the appointment of Dayanim, right, by a body. Again, who exactly that is, but there's some sort of general hierarchy in the system. That's in 71, Batei Dinim of 23 surrounding it, other networks of 23, and then Batei Dinim of 3. These are all Shoftim, Shoftim, Titan, Dechabachal, Sharecha. Here in the Mishnah, we're speaking about something totally different, where the Bali Dinim put together their own Bezdin. And the question is, how does this fit in? How does it work? So first, let's leave the Gemara, and then I'll explain what I think the big issue is. And you'll see why it's an important perspective in light of things that we've been doing. So the Gemara says, "Ma'i zeboru lechad v'zeboru lo echad bitlasa sogi." Originally, the Gemara must have thought that, according to Rashi, the way the Gemara is read is, the Gemara thought that we put together 9 dayanim. That's he picks a bezdin, he picks a bezdin, that's 3 and 3, and then either the Bali Dinim or the dayanim put together another 3, so you end up with 9 judges. That's how the Ratzah Rashi reads the Gemara. Bali Tosis read it differently. They said there never was a Havamina that you need 9, but there was a Havamina that in order to produce a Bezdin, you go through a strange process. You know, it's like a rite of passage. He picks a Bezdin, we disqualify it. He picks a Bezdin, we disqualify that. Then they get together and they finally decide, on the Bezdin, the third one is the charm, I guess, and that's the Bezdin that's going to adjudicate the case. So that's how the Bali Tosis read the Gemara. Anyways, either way, the Gemara says, I don't understand, but Tlas Asagi, according to Rashi, it means, why would you need 9 you know, we already learned earlier, Elohim, 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 that all you need is three, right? And according to Tosis, the question is, why do you have to go through this peculiar process of picking and eliminating, and then only coming to a conclusion? Why don't you just pick a three-man bezdin? What's the point here, right? So the Gemara explains, Hachi Kamar, Kishaze Borelo Bezdin Echad, Vezeb Borelo Bezdin Echad, Shneim Borim Lahem Odechad. If this not that you, this is the proper procedure, but if this happens, then this is, you know, what we do. Okay. So then the Gemara says, "Afila lova matzim me'akev." What do you mean if this happens? Meaning if we choose a bezdin, so then the other fellow can refuse, and then the other fellow can refuse too, right? So the Gemara wants to know, even the lova has the right to refuse a particular bezdin. V'arm Rav Elazar l'shanu elamalva avalova kofenosa v'dan be'iro. This is a very important question which we've never had a chance to do, but it's really later on in Daf Lamed Aleph and elsewhere. The question is, when there's more than one bezdin, right, who has the right to choose? And if there are differences in terms of quality of the batei dinim, how does that play out? In terms of efficiency, let's say there's a travel element, with travel, tircha, time lost, expenses, etc. Right, on the one hand, the principle might be to go to the most qualified bezdin. On the other hand, going sometimes to the most qualified bezdin, right, and incurs all sorts of financial and other hardship, at least for one side. So who dictates and what circumstances determine which bezdin we choose? We had a little bit in the beginning of the year when we talked about the idea that, according to some Rishonim at least, of there being two batei dinim from different, two batei dinim in a city. And let's say two batei dinim from different shvatim in the same city, and what would you do if the bali dinim were from different shvatim, and things of that sort. Okay. Anyways, the Gemara thinks that is relevant here, and the Gemara is quoting that a malva can force a lova can't force a malva, because the malva, to begin with, did a favor to the lova, so eved lova li'ish malva. So are we now saying here that the lova and malva are equal, each one can disqualify the bezdin of the other? So the Gemara says, "Kedam Rabbi Yochanan bar Kosha Basuria Shanu, Hachanami bar Kosha Basuria Shanu, Avo Mumchin Lo." The Gemara says, "Well, if we're dealing with Batei Dinim Mumchin, then the Malve is Yado Al HaElyona and not the Lova. The Malve has a prerogative. But if we're dealing with a problematic Bezdin, then anybody, each of the litigants, even the Lova, has the right to refuse." Yeah.
Why should we use the reason Evan Lova?
That's what Rashi's quote. That's what the Gemara says.
We once learned that we want to promote havos. Yeah. That's the reason for it.
Now it could be that that's the reason that Eved lo v'lish malva. Maybe. I mean, we had in the beginning of the year shalotin al delas bifnei love. So you want to encourage the malva, right, and therefore you want to make things easier for him. But Rashi here quotes it's Billy the Gemara later on. If you look here, lo shanu. Echad Omer Nidon Kan, Echad Omer Nelech LeBeis Avad. Beis Avad is a more prominent bezdin. Kofnos of Aholich LeBeis Avad. That's what the Gemara says later on on Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says Elad De Kamar Malve Nelech LeBeis Avad. The Eved Lova LeIsh Malve. That's what the Gemara uses. So it could be that Eved Lova LeIsh Malve. Again, it doesn't mean literally he's his servant. What it means is that to begin with, for the same reason we want to encourage loans, but it's even more than that. We also appreciate that in a din Torah between the malva and the lova, where the lova at least acknowledges that he received a loan from the malva, it's also okay to acknowledge a basic truth, which is that the act of lending, especially b'li ribis, is an act of chesed. It's an act of tzedakah. And therefore it does give the malva a little bit of a prerogative. That's what we mean by eved lova l'ish malva. It's not a class thing. It's a recognition that he did me a favor, and therefore he should be shown a little courtesy and preference when there's a din Torah. Right, avodim v'la avodim l'avoda. Right, so that's what we don't really mean, Eved. What we mean is, you know, that we mean that we're acknowledging that, listen, even though he did this, you know, interest-free, and he doesn't get, you know, payment for it, at minimum we could recognize that he's the person who put himself out, right? He's a bal tzedakah. And therefore, at minimum, you know, when it comes to a dispute, you know, his version, at least, of, or his, you know, preference in terms of Beis Din is honored more. That's really what we mean by it. Anyways, then the Gemara says, Rapap amar filu teima mumchin, even if they were both dayanim, even if they're both batei dinim mumchin, even then the lova would have the right to disqualify. Kagon beidina derav huna udrav chizda. The kamerle mi kav mitarach nalach, the Beis Din of Rav Huna and the Beis Din of Rav Chizda, both prominent batei dinim, were in proximity to each other, and therefore there was no added costs or tircha or, you know, time lost, etc. And therefore either one could be ma'akev in such a circumstance. Fine. Then the Gemara says Tanan v'chacham bomrim shnei dayanim borim lahem od echad. The Gemara still thinks that we're talking about the, you know, choosing a batei dinim and the rejection of batei dinim. So the Gemara says, well, the continuation of the Mishnah speaks about the two dayanim for the chachamim picking a third. Bisol gadayta kidekamrinan, that we're referring to not individual dayanim but batei dinim. Beis din basad apasilahu azlu ubirulahu beidina chriti. Does it make sense to say that they Reuven chose a Beis din? Shimon said, I'm not appearing in front of that Beis din. Right? But I've got a Beis din for you, right? And then Reuven says, you know, in a million years, I'm not going to that Beis din. So then those two batei dinim, both of which were disqualified by each, by, you know, respectively, by one baldavar, those two batei dinim are going to choose the third Beis din? The whole point is that we, you know, somehow have, you know, have rejected these two batei dinim. So the rejected batei dinim are going to pick the third. Right, va'od my zeborelo echad v'zeborelo echad. What's the echad? Elohaki kamar. Kish zeborelo dayan echad. The zeborelo dayan echad. When each one picks a dayan, shnehem borim lahem od echad. Then these two, either baledinim according to Rav Meir or dayanim according to the Chachamim, they're not rejected, you know, parties. On the contrary, they've been, you know, coronated as the dayanim here. Right, so each one is a dayan in the case, and they get to choose the third dayan. That's what we mean. So borim hem odechad. So the Gemara says ma'ishno da'avdi hachi, but there's still the recognition that this is not the base of an aleph. This is not the typical Beis Din. So why would you do this? It's now not about rejection. You know, bishlam. What we thought before, we were saying that, you know, Reuven picked a Beis Din. Shimon was dissatisfied. Shimon, you know, made another suggestion, Reuven was still reluctant, right? So we're shopping around for a Beis Din. But now that we're saying that this is a whole different story, it's Zebora Dayan Echad, Zebora Dayan Echad, and then Shnehem, either Shnei Baledinim or Shnei Dayanim Borim, Od Echad, if that's really what's happening, so what's the point of that? Why do we do that? Why don't we just operate the way we always operate all year, you know, Al Masechet Sanhedrin practically, and that is that there's a standing Beis Din Shel Gimel, you know, there's a regular Dayanim, and they have nothing to do with the Baledinim, don't choose the Dayanim, right? So the Gemara says, Hachri Ami B'marava, Mishmei Drab Zeira, Mitoch Shezeh Bor Lo Dayin Echad, Vezeh Bor Lo Dayin Echad, Vushneim Borim Lahem Od Echad, Yetzei Hadin Lamito. Okay? That's a very tall statement. If each one picks his own dayan, right, and then they pick together, yetzei hadin lamito, it'll come out, you know, an authentic psak will emerge from this process. So the question, of course, is, what do we mean by that? This, and what is the relationship between zavla, zebar lo echad, zebar lo echad, and a regular Beis Din? Yeah.
They're choosing like advocates for them.
Oh, so that's what we're going to get to. That's the real issue. So if you look at Rashi, even before we look at Rashi, there are really two ways to read the Gemara. With some nuances, obviously, but broadly speaking, two ways. One way is that the Gemara here is, speaking on a psychological level, and basically according to the perception of the Baledinim. And that's all the Gemara is doing. In other words, what we would then say is that Zavla is the only unique or singular feature of a Zavla is the method of selecting the Dayanim. Instead of going with a standing court, right, there's an alternative method where the Bali Dinim, right, are allowed to put together a Bezdin. The way that the Bezdin functions is like any other Bezdin. So what is it? What does this mean when the Gemara says Mitosh Zeh Bor Lechad Vzeh Bor Lechad Yetzei Adin Lamito? The answer is what we're referring to is the perception of the Bali Dinim. The Bali Dinim feel that since they were involved, right, so they're not going to quibble and they're not going to complain that they didn't have, you know, just Dayanim. Each one was allowed to, you know, fairly, equitably, you know, had input into the configuration or the structure of the Bezdin. So in terms of what the Gemara calls Tzius Hadin, the likelihood that they'll go along with the psak, whatever it is, because they feel that they were given a fair shake, right? From that perception point of view, this is a good idea. But in terms of the actual working of the Bezdin, this is a typical Bezdin like any other Bezdin. Or, even if you wanted to take a slight step forward, what you might say is that not only is the perception of the Bali Dinim that this is a fair process, and therefore one which they are more likely to be cooperative in terms of implementing, not only is that true, but there's one other element, and that is that psychologically, if Zeh Bor Lechad, Zeh Bor Lechad, so each of these Dayanim is likely, you know, to take an extra hard look at the evidence, you know, to make sure that no stone is left unturned for the person who appointed him. But that's a very limited idea. It doesn't mean that he is supposed to advocate. It just means that, again, psychologically, you know, just as there's a psychological element for the Bali Dinim, there's a psychological element for the Dayanim as well, in terms of exhausting, let's say, the possibilities. However, they call it 1A and 1B. It doesn't really matter. That's one perspective. The more intriguing idea here is the idea that what the Gemara is telling us is that this is a completely different methodology of din. Typically, din or and bezdin, and this is something again that we've seen all year round, is based on the unit. Either way, this is also based on unit theory, but I'll explain in a moment. But we've talked a lot about, you know, Azlina Basarov, you know, in bezdin, and Rubo Kekulo. We talked about how the Psak Din is written, and what happens if there, you know, is a dispute, you know, how is that presented, do all three Dayanim have to be there, what if there's a malpractice case? We've talked about a lot of issues connected with the interaction of the three Dayanim, Eni Odeya, right, especially in cases where there's a dispute. And there's a lot of evidence that the way that a Bezdin works is as a unit, right, the consensus of which, you know, speaks for the totality. Certainly that's the way that Psak emerges. Either way, the point is that you have three objective Dayanim. They're all standing Dayanim. They have nothing to do with the Bali Dinim. They're going to hear the next case and the one after that as well. Right? And therefore, what they're really doing is they're putting their heads together. There's a kind of a consensus approach to the Din, Meirosh, from the very beginning. However, maybe there is an equal or better, or maybe just equal, but different or opposite approach, and that is where you have a balance of advocacy, at least initial advocacy. In other words, you have not exactly lawyers, right? I was going to say chas v'shalom, but you know, I might get in trouble with some members of the crowd. Although not all our lawyers are here, I see, right? But we don't really mean lawyers in the, you know, American law sense of the term, but something getting closer to that, advocates. Judges who are whose job it is to initially advocate a particular position, right? Albeit, as we'll see in a moment, since they're dayanim, and this is where they differ from lawyers, you know, how far are they going to go in that presentation? More importantly, clearly, they're very limited when it comes to the Gemar Din part, as opposed to the Maso Matan. Clearly, the only thing that, you know, they are beholden to is the truth. Right. So the integrity of the Gemar Din, I'm not saying that lawyers don't have integrity. What I'm saying is the lawyers are not deciding the case, right?
I'm not saying that the Dayanim don't have integrity either.
I hear that. You know, one time we're going to do a panel, know, but not tonight. The point is that according to this perspective, what we're talking about here is initial advocacy in the context of the Matzah Matan. Even there, I think that there's it's a gray area of how appropriate, how far that goes. What is the line in terms of propriety? In other words, I'm really supposed to present it, you know, if I only 20% believe it, if I can muster 40% belief. I'm making up the numbers, obviously. But this is all in the Matzah Matan. Clearly, when it comes to the Gemar Din and the voting, right, you have to pivot back to pure objectivity, which is not such an easy thing to do. So Rashi here, this is take a sampling of the Rishonim, we find this discussion. Rashi says, Yetze Adin Emes Lamita. You can see this is a very interesting question. Rashi says, Ditzaisi Bali Dinim. Tzaisi means that they are going to listen, they're going to adhere to the psak, they'll be disciplined. They will accept the psak. The Savar Hachayev, the guilty party, is going to be thinking, Hare ani ba'atzmi birarti ha'echad. I had equal input into this process, right? I picked one of the dayanim, and either I, together with the other fellow, picked the third dayan, or at least my dayan picked together with his dayan the third. I may have made a mistake, but that's my mistake. The point is that objectively, the input is equal. The ima yachal ha'pech b'schusi, he's thinking, you know, haya mahapech, then he would have done it. So he might be unhappy that he lost, but he's going to comply, and he's not going to claim that he, you know, the deck was stacked against him. That's a big thing, right? V'hadayanim ba'atzman, says Rashi. See, now Rashi's crossing a little bit, you know, but we're not sure if this is 1B, as I described it before, or it's already 2, right? V'hadayanim ba'atzman nochadaitan, they, you know, are likely lahafech b'schus shnehem, v'pnei sheshnehem birurum. So does he mean that that's their job, or that that's likely to happen in a more innocuous way, you know, which is an additional fringe benefit, but since it isn't their job, and on the contrary, they're supposed to be objective meirosh, right, it's certainly going to be in a very moderate way. Yeah?
It seems to say that, not like you were saying before, that he's going to be an advocate for the one who chose him, but it seems to say that they were chosen by both. Meaning
you actually does seem to say that, you're right.
So it means that because the other guy...
So it's hard to know whether he means each one or both. I hear that. I hear. It's a good deal. Interesting point. Look at Tosas. It's a good point. So you're saying on the contrary, so it's even more...
I hear.
It's a good point. Look at Tosas for a minute. So Tosas quotes Kadesh Eitzah Dayan Lamito. It almost splits up the first two points. Pirush HaRivan. The Rivan, by the way, was Rashi's son-in-law. Right? Right, with sons-in-law is a good theme for the night. Shafilo Hachayev Yifra Baratzon, the Yomar Kushta Daini, Shani Ba'atzmi Birarti Ha'echad, Vim Haya Yachol Hafech Biskusi, Yayama Hafech. This is Rivan, not saying much different than Rashi, frankly. Right? Then Tosas adds, Lefum Riata Mashma, Kacha Perush, Shemitok Shabir Zeshalo, Zeshalo, Hashlishi. No, there's a Girsa problem there. What does the Bach do? Vishneim Ashlishi. That's how it should be. Yetzer Adin Lamito below Ivus, right, without any corruption. Shehei HaInyan Shakul below Yarbu Mahapchin Lechova Al Mahapchin Leschus below Lahafach. It sounds a little bit like Tosis is adding that this isn't just the perception of the Bali Dinim, or maybe the psychological spillover, you know, to a little more thorough or exhaustive or motivated, you know, devil's advocacy by the judges. Maybe this is really the job of these dayanim. If you look at the Rush, you get a, you get a taste of what this might be. The Rush here quotes, I have it in, it's either in the back of the Gemara, which is fine, Simon, Paragimel Simon Beis, or I have it here on the sheet. Did people get the sheets?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So the Rosh says as follows: Mipnei sheyesh chaserei das, toin b'divrei Rashi. A very fascinating Rosh. He said there were people, there were chasere das, right, you know, ignorant people, people who didn't understand, who misunderstood what Rashi said, ulameidin mimenu, and they understood from Rashi, shadayin yesho lahafech b'schus al sashabirer, v'omid b'makomo, lechapos b'dvarim ashalo kadin. This is already very strong. Meaning there are people who read Rashi and said that, you know, you're supposed to appoint an advocate, and that the advocate is supposed to argue, you know, even, you know, when ethically, right, he knows that it isn't so. Again, where's the line even in the Maaso Matan, right? Can't be lying for his client, or I was saying something much more subtle before. Does he have to think that this may be true? Does he have to think, you know, that it's, you know, a reasonable possibility, or even a 5% possibility, or he doesn't believe it at all, but, you know, it's not impossible, right? What the Rosh is quoting is other people who are invoking Rashi to say that you can really push very hard, right? L'chapos b'dvar ma'shalo kadin, right? To cross the line, whatever that is, ethically. V'nagu kama nashim livar lehem bale takboles. Does it sound familiar? You know, these shyster, some of them would, you know, these sharp lawyers, you know, who didn't have ethics, you know, v'nitalim b'divrei Rashi. You know, what's better than quoting, you know, Rashi, right? Shemashma sheyesh alahapak b'schuso. V'chalila v'chas. This is just a famous and a very fascinating rush, right? Chalila, says the rush, lo diktiku b'dvarav. You didn't say that. Shekosav the savri hare ani birarti. Rashi's speaking about the, you know, mindset of the Bali Dinim. Ki usavor kach sheyafech b'schuso yoser mi b'schuso acher. They will, they'll go an extra mile for me, right? Umitokzet, Sayas, Lidinayim, and therefore they're going to cooperate, and they're not going to rebel, you know, they're not going to, you know, call press conferences and blog away, you know, after the fact and carp about losing the case because they gave it their best shot and they know they were properly represented. Or if they weren't, it was their own fault. Aval adayin atzmo chalila lo limtso svar l'schuso im lo sheyir lo din gamor. But the Dayan has limits. Right? Even if he could, you know, trick his colleague into accepting his view, even though he himself, now it's an interesting line, right? Even though himself is mesupak, that's a little bit different than knowing that it's a lie. But like he's presenting it as a vadai when he only feels it. That's why I was saying before, I don't know what the exact, I could, you know, project different places to draw the line, right? What I was saying before is not far from what the Rosh is saying here. Before he talked about things that are definitely shelo kadin and people who are bale techboles, now he's talking about what about the ability to pass off a suffek for a vadai? Say it strongly. You know, you're good as that. People are excellent, you know, devil's advocates. You know, they like a good argument. Doesn't even they believe it. Tell them next day to come in and do the opposite argument. Right, that would be even better. Hareza bechlal mate mishpat. Wow, Avi Mitosh is a biro, right? Mevin devarav la shuro. However, now the Rosh is speaking very subtly. It is true that it's not just perception. Maybe there is a substantive element too, and that is I'm your borer, right? So again, I'm more open to seeing your side within reason. I also understand you better. Maybe I know you. So I can maven dvarim la shuram better. Vim yesh la shum tzad tzchus, nosa v'nosa nim chavero. V'chein osa hadayin ha'acher l'sheni. Nimsa lo nishar tzchus, nistar v'nealam l'shneem. Meaning, in the sense of exhausting, you know, what are authentic arguments, what are proper arguments, this is a benefit. V'ashlishi is also fascinating. Shomea maso matan shol shneem. The third one hears both. Umachria b'neim, the Yotze Hadin, la mito.
Both to be the Bali Dinim.
No. The other two Dayanim.
Then they're advocating.
No. That's fine. They're advocating a little bit, but within reason. But he's not. He's chosen by the two Dayanims. He has no connection to the Bali Dinim. So what emerges from here is interesting. On the one hand, the Rush is citing those who abused Rashi's position in a very far you know, an extreme way. Meaning, you know, totally crossing that ethical line. Whatever that ethical line is, right, the first instance cited by the Rosh is very much over the line, and then, you know, he's pulling back a little bit, and even then there are issues, clearly. But the Rosh does not seem to be, you know, reverting to the pure psychological either. He starts off saying, well, Rosh, he says psychologically. But then, not even begrudgingly, he says, and it is also true that these dayanim, right, are in a position, you know, to provide greater clarity based on the, you know, more intimate knowledge of the balei dinim, a greater sense of responsibility to them, etc. That can be a constructive thing as long as it doesn't cross over to the other line. So is the Rosh actually saying that there is an element of hofech? Well, he's saying that there is, it's just not, you know, mechuyav. If you look at the Chidushei HaRan, the Ran has two deos here, and I could, you know, we could document this in other Rishonim too. First day of the Ran is that it's all purely psychological. Then the second day of the Ran is, no, it's actually the intended purpose of this Beis Din, that there be an initial advocacy that gives way to objectivity. So basically, what we have here is two basic ideas about Zavla. First one is that Zavla is just a mechanism in appointing, it's a different way to appoint a Beis Din, and it has certain psychological benefits. But the Chetza Shel Beis Din, the working premise of the Beis Din, is identical to any other Din Torah. The second perspective is that really a regular Beis Din works on the basis of consensus. There can be arguments, well, we know this from the story of Eni Odea, right? And we appreciate a energetic, you know, even an intense, you know, maso matan. But it's not set up that way. There's no advocate. In other words, this dayan sees it his way, that dayan sees it that way, and that can make for a very lively, you know, exchange. But in the end of the day, right, the real principle is consensus. But according to some Rishonim, Zavla is a balanced, right, initial advocacy. The maso matan is totally different. The working mechanism of the Beis Din is different. The Gemar Din is a pivot to pure objectivity. But if that's the case, we should look for some nafka mina, A. B, the role of the Dayan Hashlishi becomes very intriguing. Because in a regular, if we assume that Zavla is a regular Din Torah, and it's just, you know, the psychological benefits for the balei dinim or the added exhausting of possibilities for the dayanim is, you know, is a fringe benefit. So in the end of the day, the third dayan is like the other two. There's no difference between the dayanim. But if we say, if we take the view that really, really it's a kind of initial advocacy, then this really dayan away, it's dayan echad. So if you look at Pirush Mishnayos, for example, the Rambam, says, right, the Chachamim hold that the two Dayanim point at the top one, the top of the page, first entry. Ram says, because the Borer is an initial advocate. Ram isn't saying it's psychological, not here anyway.
So
the Rambam is saying that the third one is the Machria. That's kind of what the Rosh calls him too. So we might even then expect that the role, we might find formulations that there's really only one Dayan here, like you said, even though that's not really true because there really are three Dayanim and they all vote and they're all supposed to try to vote honestly. But even the characterization, right, the formulation of the Dayan Shlishi as being either the only Dayan or the Dayan HaMachria already seems to be telling us that this is a different kind of Beis Din. We also may even find that there'll be nafka mina between them. So we don't have so much time because I came a little late. So let me just go straight to some of the issues where this comes up. So number one, I mentioned that the Mishnah here says, Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha, right? So it's interesting that the Rosh and some of the other Rishonim did not have the girsa of Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha here in the third paragraph. And thereby, you know, the question, of course, is why do we need to say Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha? We said it in the first paragraph. Now, if we're dealing with just a different way of appointing the judges, but the working mechanism of Beis Din is the same, this is a Beis Din like any other Beis Din. Just instead of operating with the standing court, where we're allowing for each of the Balei Dinim to have input, so there'll be more Tzius Ladina. Great. So do you have to repeat to Dinim Amanus B'Shlosha? But, not saying it's a Muchrach this way, but if the point is that Zavla is really a different mechanism, maybe the Gemar Din is intended to be the same. But really, instead of being an initial consensus, right, there's an initial debate and advocacy, which then gives way, right, to consensus. So then maybe it's important to mention Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha. This is like saying there's Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha A, right, and Dav Beis Amud Aleph. That's a typical Beis Din. There's Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha B. That's the principle of Zavla. So there are really some quite interesting issues connected with this, which I believe may be relevant. Okay, let me mention a few very very quickly. Number one, let's just go. We'll take some clear cut ones in a moment for a few minutes. Let's start with the question of standards. Typically, the halacha is, and we had this on Davav Amud Beis, in the Gemara that we learned there. Typically, the halacha is that the dayanim cannot hear from one baldin, right, before the other. They have to hear the story from both baledinim, from the competing baledinim at the same time. Understandably, because we don't want them, right, to have any kind of preconceived notion, right? The halacha is very sensitive, to human psychology. The idea that, when you hear, first time you hear a story, it makes a very strong impression. You have to extricate yourself, from that initial tale, typically. So we don't want one of the Balei Dinim to gain an advantage, by making, inroads into your sense of right and wrong. And therefore both Balei Dinim have to, be present together and have the opportunity at the same time, to present the merits of their case. Would it be different in a Zavla? Now, the truth is, if Zavla is just a regular Beis Din, then it shouldn't make any difference. Because even in the Maso Maton, we're not really sanctioning that one is an advocate, for one side and the other for the other. But if we take the view that Zavla is an intention on the Maso Maton level, is intentionally designed or structured to be an initial advocacy that only later in the Gemar Din gives way to objectivity. So if he's supposed to, if he's my lawyer, in the finest sense of the word, meaning he's supposed to, within reasons, within proper ethical boundaries, he's supposed to represent my case, right? To the extent that it's a viable case. I want him to be mahapech b'schusi. So really, should there be a problem of shomea echad lefnei chavero? Perhaps not. Similarly, there's a whole discussion whether there can be any kind of schar or sakhar for dayanim. Midrabanan, certainly we don't allow that, right? Even if it isn't, negius objectively necessarily, but it's obviously something which is very problematic. They used to pay the dayanim, from a kupa tziburit, that they would have. And, that's obviously a very sensible thing. But if we're talking about Zebar Lo'echad and Zebar Lo'echad, Zehofech B'Schuso V'Zehofech B'Schuso, and that's the way that it's supposed to be, right? So is it improper? I mean, people pay their do people still pay their lawyers? Okay. So, there's such a thing as a public defender, too, right? But typically, your advocate is not a public defender who's being paid from the community treasury, right? He's contracted and he is compensated by his client. So it's fascinating that there were obviously such rumblings, such suggestions. And if you look at the Piskei Tshuva,
all affinity here is just that it's like telling us how that he thought I was a nice guy. And
what?
The whole point here is that I would be biased because, or I might advocate for somebody because he chose me and he thinks I'm a nice guy again to act in the case. I mean, if there's no monetary, if there's no gain.
I mean, why would. No, he's a dayanim.
He's a dayanim, right?
They're functioning as dayanim in the community too, just in this particular case. Instead of operating with them because they are the standing dayanim of this particular city, they were put together ad hoc.
So there's a very, in other words, the association with the person who chose you, is very minimal there.
It could be minimal, it could be more. I mean, it could be somebody that I know very well. I daven with him in shul every day. He'd be a great borer for me. He knows me. He knows I'm an honest man. He understands, how I think and whatever. It can be very innocent, is what I'm saying. But how much, or it could be he has a great reputation. I know that I'm right. I just need somebody who is wise and honest. I mean, it could be mikatzel, katzel. No one, there's no model.
It sounded like from at the beginning that people they're beholden to them because, you chose me, so therefore.
No, not beholden. I think there is a psychological element, meaning if somebody invests confidence in me, whether I know him or I don't know him, it can go either way. But I think there is I think that's true. There's an ego element, and there's also a nachrayus element, I would say. The ego element is psychological, and we're all people. We try to neutralize that. The nachrayus element maybe is even appropriate, meaning he had faith that I would represent. Again, we don't have to look at it, in a dire way. I mean, the rush is, chaserei hadas, are cynical people. But let's take it, this Baldin he knows he's right and he just wants a fair shake. And he doesn't want to corrupt anybody, doesn't want anybody to misrepresent what it, but he wants somebody to present it accurately. And maybe it's a highly nuanced, issue and argument. And therefore it really needs somebody of, with that wisdom and integrity. It doesn't have to be, untoward. It could be just totally, not only innocent, but even noble. You might as well look at it that way. So I think, we don't know the case, but it could be any range in cases. Yeah.
I was involved in Zabla.
Yeah?
Yeah. I had a hotel lease that was written 60 years ago.
Wow.
And I had Zabla. And we had this agreement. And I chose someone who I felt would side with me. But he was a respected person. And the other side did the same. Yeah, I viewed it. I was going to side with him. I couldn't reject him because I seen. So in our minds, we canceled each other out, and it strictly, it was it never went that far anyway,
right.
Because we chose a different direction to go. But anyway, that was the view of the.
I mean, you felt satisfied that you had you were represented, but, and he was represented.
Yeah, but the view was one canceled the other out.
Right.
Really, dayan echad.
Right.
The way lemaisa.
I mean, like the machria.
That's how we viewed right. it.
See, that's the best way. But at least each person feels like. There's a competent person who is represented. I'm saying, let's speak in terms of nobility.
You
the rush was speaking.
Don't have this anymore. I must tell you, this, as I mentioned, it was written 60 years ago. Yeah. Now it's all AAA. It's all arbitration, American Arbitration Association,
right.
Where you have three sitting.
In America.
Yeah, yeah.
In America.
But Zabla is an old thing, 60 years ago. Yeah,
interesting.
So, this was a Goyish contract. This is not with Jews.
Right, no, I understand. The idea is understanding. So look here at the Pisrei Tshuva Sif Katan Gimel for a moment. This is on page 3. I'm just going to take another couple minutes, since I came late. I'm not going to take too much longer because we know everybody has things to do. The Gama Dayanim, everybody have it? The Gama Dayanim Kolachem Mahape Kosav Asma. Klomar, in other words, Afsha Dayanim Amuvarorim Elem Lasos Kamosha Savra Baldin. We'll get that in a minute. The Ayin Tur Lashon Rosh Bazev. Ayin Chuvas, I don't know who that is. Whatever, we could figure it out probably pretty easily, but whatever. Shekasav the Asur, this is the Pisrei Tshuva, he's always quoting from the Gedolei Achronim. The Asur Al Pi Hadin, Lahaktim Tanosav Tchila Lefnei Borer. Exactly the issue that I was raising, right? Meaning, does the rule that you have to hear both Bali Dinim at the same time, does that apply in Zavla, or is there an element of advocacy here so that it's not a problem? Right? But Kav Chomer to also lifsak lo sachar, bishvil lezakosa bedin, can ye pay him? Ki zebor lachov in Zavla, kol toras dayanim alayim. This posek said, the Zavla is just a method of configuring The Beis Din, there's no difference even in the Masa Matan. Beherech Shem B'Tochacha Megula Al Kilkul Ador Be'inyan Hazeh V'Sim Sheroi L'Manhig Ador L'Hasser Mechshela Hazos V'Yisrael V'Chein Ra'oi L'Nhog Ba'asher Shem Mitzvah V'Chova Yisrael L'Farnes Dayanayim. And then he talks about Kupav, you know, the Tzibor, and so on. But there are other Acharonim which disagree. That's exactly this issue. I'll give you another example. There's a Tshuva D'Marik, Simin Tazayin. If you look at Chelek Beis, the next one, he talks about the following. I mentioned before, there are certain midas chasidus which disqualify dayanim lechatchila, like mechutanim, ahuvim, sonim, can go in either direction. You know, somebody have a bad relationship with somebody who knows you very well. You know, they're not psulim. We're not talking about krovim. We're not talking about nogea b'davar. But we're talking about people. You know, it's either the perception or, again, psychologically. You know, as much as people try, you want to avoid any kind of conflict of interest or any kind of netia that people have had a propensity. You know, for one person over another. So lechatchila midrabanan, there's a minag midas chasidus to avoid. You know, derachim lei tvei, desani lei tvei, etc. So the Marik has a fascinating tshuva where he says, it was a certain case that came up, he said, yeah, that's true. That's true. He says, but not in a Zavla. Right? Because in a Zavla, that whole point is that you want that initial advocacy. So this is what he writes. Bod nearly as daiti, the hodamar de laman de rachim lei, who you have an affectionate relationship with, kuli loli don inshi, right? Hainu dafka bidayan mumchal rabim. He's an objective dayan, right? He plays a community role. He's the only judge. His expertise. Right? Even if there are others with him, right? He's not judging the case. He's like the dominant judge. It's this interesting formulation again, meaning the one who's really machria in a way is going to be the objective third. Afilu mishum midas chasidus ein kan delomi boy b'hachdala lidon inush devadai hadas. Nota machras kidikosafti alfilu b'kol hani psulim dahasam dominomle pasilnalach near the lomifsili b'zeb borelo echad ukidipirash hari mishlah shleima perik zaborer zeb posel deyanishol zeh zeb he thinks that's a pshat in zeb posel deyanishol zeh, which is very remarkable that it's talking about an oiv and a son. It doesn't sound that way in the Gemara, but then he goes on to explain. I'm going to skip a little bit because it's late. That he says, well, this is the way it should be, anyways. Look three lines in the but the vade hasam shekol adin o ikar adin tali b'din azem yeah note klal etc. Ivas adin avakash zeb bor laechad v'zeb bor laechad is the last line on the page. Afa pisha kasav rabenu asher quotes the rush that we read. Tafil hachi em ledayanim liton taina b'shvil oso shabiro. They're still not supposed to lie. They're not supposed to do in the gemar din. They're supposed to be objective. Im lo yeh nira be'inav din emes avam mikamokom pshita. The mode who the mishem is barer mitzanecha nosin libel lahavin is devarav ula ein beschuso matima ladayin chavero v'chein chaver behefach v'leik el mekush b'kai gavna penyate l'ze yosem ilaze kivin sheikar adin b'shlishi shemachria b'neim. This is a very fascinating psak. He's really articulating the view that in the maso matan each is supposed to be to some extent an advocate. The gimel is a dayin, ashlishi is the machria. They're equally balanced, so it's fine. You could even have midrachim, etc. That would be fascinating. The Agos Ashri, the Ozarua discusses the following question. We say, what if the Bali Dinim say to the Borim, listen, we don't want you, both of them together, right? Or maybe each one individually, but there are different configurations of this. We don't want you to consult with Chacham X. Chacham Y. Already sounds pretty, peculiar, right? Meaning, of course, the principle here is the following. To what extent did the Bale Dinim, right, have the capacity to interfere in any way with the Din Torah, right, after they've appointed their Borim. Now, in a typical Din Torah, if you were to go over to the Gimel Dayanim and say, I don't want you to ask her Moshe Feinstein. I don't want you to ask her Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Or I want you to, whatever. Right? They I don't know, we don't have contempt of court, but you know, if we did, he'd be held on a charge of contempt. How dare he interfere with the process? He's the Baldin, he's not the Dayanim. Right? But in the case of Zavla, right, is the Bore, let's say your lawyer, can you tell your lawyer, who to call as an expert witness? Which medical examiner? I want to get that guy from New York. His name Baden? 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 Was there a guy like that?
Yeah.
Right?
He was a medical examiner.
Right? Forever.
Yeah.
Right.
Pathologist.
What?
He was a pathologist.
The pathologist. He was like the medical examiner in all the cases, like for decades and decades. Yeah. And he might still be there. I'm not even sure if he's alive. He might still be doing the cases. But the point is, I don't want him, I want the other one. Right? Can a lawyer do that? I mean, can the Baldavar tell a lawyer?
Sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
So the Rush, Nagosa Shri rather, says, it depends on Rameyer and the Chachamim. Meaning, according to Rameyer, who says that the two Balidinim get together and they appoint the third Dayan, so apparently they're not gone, just because after they appointed the first two. But we're talking about a situation presumably after that. So you say, okay, fine. So the methodology, getting the third Dayan is through the Bali Dinan. Right? But still, they can't tell you who to listen to, which Gadol to ask the Shilas to, or not to. So the Gemara discusses what Posel Edov really means. Right? And the Gemara is very bothered by it, and what they end up saying is very unclear. I mean, Machlokes and Shonim, what they mean. We're not going to be able to get to that. But kind of something to look at. But the point I'm trying to make is that some of the Rishonim said it depends on Rameyer and the Chacham, because maybe that's good for what they're arguing about. Rameyer says, listen, the third Dayan is selected by the two because this whole thing, is a significant substantive different kind of Din Torah, where they're part of the process, not just initially, but at least through the Maaseh Matan, they're part of the process. Whereas according to the Chachamim, not. And others will say that in either direction, you might say, well, even according to the Chachamim, it's just, my representatives are now appointing the third judge. It doesn't mean I'm out of the case. Or the other way, just because the Validinim can appoint the third Dayan, that's part of the Tziyus Adin, but it doesn't ever mean anything about actually interfering with the substance of the case. Chalila. So when we talk about also being posel dayano, you asked about Eda, but dayano, that too is an interesting question, because the Gemara says it's arkos shebesuria. So what is the status of arkos shebesuria in a regular din Torah, and is it different between zavla and not? If we could figure out that either according to Rameyer or according to the Chachamim, there's an argument to Rameyer and the Chachamim, right? Whether or not you can be posel a dayan in the case of zavla. Rameyer says yes, Chachamim say no. But what emerges is the different views according to different Rishonim, whose position is Mechudash? Rameyer's, who says you can be Posel? Because typically in a regular Din Torah, this kind of judge would be fine, our Kol Shebesuria would be fine. Or is it the opposite way? The real Chiddush is the Chachamim, because typically in this kind of a case, we're talking about Hedyotos, let's say, Yoshe Kronos, remember the Gimel Amin Aleph, and normally they would be Posel Agamri. The reason that they're kosher here is only because of Zeborer. So, therefore, we rely. So the point is we can't, we're out of time. So there are many other nafkamina. But what comes out of all of this is really an important principle. And that is that alongside with regular din, there's din, regular din, which is based on objectivity. There's pshara, which is where the flexibility, is given for the dayanim to paskin, to rule on the basis of the principles, but not necessarily some of the low plug details. That's the concept of pshara. There's something called kiblolai, where the individuals can refashion the qualifications for being a dayan. And then there's something called zavla, which may be a form of din, a court which is based on a masomaton, which is based on advocacy, which then pivots into or gives way to objectivity. This whole rich, mosaic, let's say, even within Bate Dinim of Gimel, really highlights that the halacha is very ambitious and very complex. Even in a Bezen Shel Gimel, there's a recognition that there's more than one way, you know, to accomplish the task, and that circumstances will dictate what the optimal way to achieve a just solution is, but at the same time, that recognizing that since there are these different options, and they do have different benefits as well as different challenges, that, you know, there are going to be concrete nafkamina, these configurations will come with an adjustment, you know, in how the and how the mechanism operates. At the end of the day, the goal is the same, and that is the representation of Elohim, you know, through Elohim, and you know, that it should be mishpat tzedek, one which brings shalom to the parties on the one hand, but at the same time is just and really reflects the concept of din as Torah, not just as shalom. One which is very symbolic of the nature of halacha as a system itself. So I wish you all a good summer. Just a little taste of Perek Zeborer. And I think if we continue next year, I think we're going to the first Perek of Kiddushin is the